Well, we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 60. So let's go there. You know, I've still had that on my heart about rise up, my love, not anybody else's, not the love we might muster up, rise up, my love, and come away. So in chapter 60 of Isaiah, it says, arise. What time? People get up at different times of the day. Sometimes it's through the hour of adversity, but arise, get up. Rise up, and I heard in the resurrection, in the new man, arise and shine. We hear in the New Testament, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and they will know you're going to glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Bring glory and honor unto him. Arise and shine. And this is the future glory of Zion. But arise and shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. You know, there is going to come a time when Israel accepts him. Oh, George, you want to turn my phone on? Or your phone? Accepts him as their personal savior. They're going to be the head. They're not going to be the tail. And many are going to be watching their lives. They're going to minister to people. But think about us. Arise and shine. That's a call to action. It means get up and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in the light as he is in the light. We'll have fellowship one with another. That's how that true fellowship is going to come. If we arise and shine and let the light of the glory of God be seen in our lives. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Is it darkness right now? And it says, and gross darkness, the people. And if I think about the way people are walking and the things, and it's, you know, I don't even like to say the people are just, they're this and they're that. It's just called unbelief. They are not walking in the light. They're walking in what man calls right. You know, even Israel, they have not accepted him as their personal savior. But once they do, men are going to be watching. People are going to see. Arise up. The gross darkness, the people, but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. The sun shall come from far, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. I want us to think, though, of when I see arise and shine. I always hear that song, arise and shine and give God the glory. Arise and shine. Let your light shine. What are people seeing? You are the book they read. And I heard arise, rise up. It signifies a call to action, a spiritual awakening or restoration in the face of adversity or complacency. Maybe we're complacent, just everything's just this and that. But he said, rise up. There's more for you to get, more to learn, more to change you into the glory and the image of his son. Leave behind the death. Know that you died, but rise up in the newness of life, a double reckoning. Now it's a life unto God. Rise up out of death and come out into the glorious light. And I love this, the liberty of the sons of God. It's a son who is not only saying, we've been set at liberty, Jesus set us at liberty. No, they're saying, I am at liberty. I am free. I am walking in the new man. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm arising and I'm shining and I'm telling people, this is the love of God. This is what God has done for us. And when he says that in Isaiah 60, he tells them, arise and shine. People are watching your life. What are they seeing? We can say words, but God has really spoke to my heart of, no, I want it to be the life that you now live. I want you to be able to say, I was crucified with Christ, but not only to say it, to live it. I died with him. I was buried with him, and I have come up, arise in the resurrection. Rise up in power today. Rise up in light. bring the glory and the honor that he deserves. We are magnifying his grace, not me. It's the life I live. It's the power on the inside of the vessel. We have a treasure. Are you showing off your treasure? Are you magnifying grace? As I go through this, I want us to go to Philippians. We're going to go to chapter 2, but we're going to start in chapter 1 and verse 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel. Are you becoming? Are you good to look upon? Are you shining all glorious within and without? Well, let your manner of life, the way you live, the way you talk, the way you dress, the way everything there is, on the outside of this vessel, you are sharing what has been put on the inside. For it is God's both to will. He has to put the to-do inside of you first. And once he does, then work it out. You see, it's in, but let it come out. It's a call to action. Rise up. Be accounted for. Tell him, I am a son of God. I am a believer. I am filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe in all things that he's given us. We're coming into these treasure. Well, let your manner of life or your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. And remember, the gospel of Christ. There is no other gospel. We only have the true gospel. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. So when someone says, how do you know that your church is preaching truth? Because we preach Christ. Not a person, not us, him. If we preach us, we'll have to say, well, I can't do this, and I still this, and I still that, and I can't get out of this, and I'm still stuck on this. No, we preach, I have risen. We are justified now. We're a new creation. You're holy. You're without blame, accepted in the beloved. But those things, without blame, without a blemish, when you're in this world, you're going to have these things, and they're going to defile this body. But God, he said he washes us, cleanses us by the washing of the water of the word. We need to stay clean. Be clean in the washing of the water of the word. Be not defiled. But it's a change that's going on. Could you say the day you got saved? Provisionally, yeah, you could say it. I am accepted in the beloved. But how many of you walked in that? How many of you really knew what that meant? You didn't, because you have to grow up in that. It has to be experimental, practical in your life. That's rise up, shine, give God the glory. Walk according to the gospel of Christ. And we read in Galatians 1, there is no other gospel. There's only one. If any man preach any other gospel, there's a curse on him. That whether I come and see you or else absent, I want to hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. Now notice what Paul's going to do. He said, I want to hear that you're standing fast in one spirit. I want to know that you're of one mind. You see this unity again? How God is bringing this out over and over. I believe he sees it's not there yet in practicality. I said, Lord, you're doing it again. All about unity, oneness that we have in the beloved. Be fast in one spirit, one mind. Striving together, and that doesn't mean striving, having trouble one with another. This is a together thing. This is something we do as one, in one body, together. Why do we want this? The one spirit, the one mind. Christ, this mind, let this mind be in you. Striving together for the faith. Christ is the faith of the Son of God, who loved you, gave himself for you. It's the faith of the Son of God. He is our faith, the shield of faith. Him, all these parts of the armor, it's him. There would be no hope without him. There would be no faith. Where would prayer be? We're praying in the name of Jesus. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't be afraid. How many times have you seen that in the scripture? Fear not. You've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. It doesn't mean you're never going to fear. It means don't let fear rule your life. Fear comes, it'll try to rule your life. Oh, I don't want to go there. What happens if I go there? Well, I don't want to visit that person. What if? You see the what ifs and all the fear and the doubts. No, you are one body, accepted in the beloved, everyone. Nothing being terrified by your adversaries. So he's telling, these are Philippian racers, by the way. These people, they're running to win Christ. But he is getting them, changing them, inner man first. He's showing them how they're going to run. You must have the life of Christ within you. You must have true humility, true oneness, togetherness. You don't have to be led by fear, which is to them an evident token of perdition. But to you, when you see fear or when you have adversaries, what is it to us? If I go and I fear, they see that, right? Well, it should be evident to us that when these things are there, fear not, I am with you. But to you it is salvation and that of God. And this isn't getting saved. These are racers, not just getting saved from the penalty of your sin. This is the very power of sin that's residing around you. He's going to take you out of the very presence of sin. It's evident. But to you it's salvation that is of God. If you live godly in this present world, you're going to suffer persecution. But God knows how to deliver the godly. Amen. God knows how. We don't know how. God knows how. This is where your dependence is upon him. I don't know how to get out of this circumstance. I don't know how. I remember working a job as a director. Lord, I can't do a computer. I wouldn't even know how to turn it on. I mean, I was so afraid of a computer that I thought if I turned it on, it'd probably explode on me. That's how dumb. I mean, I really didn't want to touch that thing. But God brought me to the place that I became a director and was using the computer. But do I know all there is to know? No, I'm still learning, just like the Word of God. But it is God who knows how to deliver me. He gives me the deliverance, the grace that is needed at that time. I'm not going to put you somewhere that I won't give you the grace of God to do it. And as we go on, he says, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Philippian racers, you are to believe on Jesus Christ. That's where your faith comes from. But he said, not only that, you're going to suffer for his sake. You're an heir with God. I always have loved this when I got a revelation. It's, you're an heir with God, but you are a joint heir with Christ, if so be that you suffer with him. We want to come into that bridal rank when the first trump sounds. There'll be other trumps, but I want to hear the first trump. And I believe the trump is already sounding. I believe that with all my heart. He's speaking to us. He's calling us. Come with me from. He's talking to us through the Word of God. It's being sounded out. And then you'll hear more later. Come with me. Come up. Come hither. But we will know that voice. It is given on the behalf of Christ, but you believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me. What all did you see Paul go through? What all did you see Christ go through? We're being found in Christ. If they persecuted him, do you not think they're going to persecute you? Are you better than the Lord? We will have tribulation. We will have persecution. But the one thing we have is we have the grace of God to see us through it all. It's only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's already done. He came for us. He said, you saw it in me. Now, here to be in me. When you keep going, you go down to chapter 2. Now, if there be therefore any consolation, and there's many innies in here. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort and of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, if any of those are there, okay? If that's there, you've received it, right? Then fulfill you my joy. Paul said, I went through this. And then the love wherewith he loved me, I love you. In the comfort where he comforted me, I comforted you. This is what true fellowship is. That is what it really is. It's not talking about all these other little things. It's talking about Jesus and the oneness. You want to have fellowship and really know what communion really is? Fellowship, you'll know what communion is. It's a oneness. Fulfill ye my joy. So he said the joy of the Lord is his strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Paul said, you are my joy. You are my crown. What about Jesus? The joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. He did it for you. He endured the cross, despised the shame. He is now set down on the right hand of his Father. What is he doing? Now he's making intercession for us. That's how much he loves us. Well, he said, I want you to fulfill my joy that you will be what? Like-minded. You have the mind of Christ. If Paul could do anything, it was because he had the mind of Christ. Jesus, what about him? Father, I delight to do thy will. He said, if there be another way, let this cup pass from me. That's that human part. He was made as a man. On my paper, when I was studying, I just did this little ladder, and then I did another ladder. And it was like, having the same love, being of one accord in one mind. One accord. How did they go into the upper room? One accord. What were they doing? Waiting on the promise. What are we here for? We should be in one accord. We came to fellowship. We came to hear the word from God through the power of the Holy Ghost. We came to hear ye him. Remember, Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are life. It's going to bring you life. I want you to fulfill my joy. Be like-minded. Have the same love. Being of one accord in one mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him, they shouldn't perish. They're not going to perish. They're going to have everlasting life. It started in love. You went through trials. You went through tribulation. You've been through persecution. You've been through hardships. Think it not strange. This is needful. Some of them have been fiery trials. But it's to make you ready for the soon coming of the Lord, that you will love as I have loved you. I chastened you because I love you. I chasten you because I want to instruct you in the ways of righteousness. He corrects us by the word. I've always loved those words. Preach the word. Preach the word. Let nothing. Notice let. I believe in my heart, and I believe Paul believed this too. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Don't let it. Hold back the power of darkness, that iniquity that doth already work. Don't let it. Don't let it go through strife and vainglory. Don't let it be for no profit. You know, because I'm revealing it. I'm telling, the Lord is saying, I'm telling you. But I want you to do it in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Better. And I wrote down, I think I did in the car. Oh, esteem. Jesus was lowly. He didn't go, oh, I'm the Son of God and I'm going to come out here. Now, I want you to take this down to really get it in practicality in our life. Well, I'm a Christian. I've been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. You're so dirty out there. Did Jesus do that to us? No, he knew who he was. He was the Son of God. But he came down low to meet the needs of another. He esteemed them highly. He humbly considers, instead of being proud, I'm the Son of God. You better listen to me. He didn't do that. He knew he was the Son of God. That's like when you know the Father loves you, you don't have to go around and fight with everybody and try to prove it. You know it. I know my Father loves me. Amen. Don't be selfish. Don't be conceited. Put others above you. Can you imagine how beautifully the body would look? How much glory he would get if everyone would just allow him to work this in our heart? Help me, Lord. That's why you have those trials. It's so you will see. Put others higher than you. Esteem them. See their need. I love that drink offering as I was reading. It was like the Lord said, a drink offering, Penny, a drink offering. It's poured out. It's poured out for the gospel's sake. No hindrance, no stopping, no matter what takes place. A drink offering that all may come in. And then he tells them, he said, I want you to esteem others better than yourself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. We need to look at the needs. What does love in 1 Corinthians 13, what does it keep telling us? Love considers. Love endures. Love. It'll never fail. God's love has not fallen and fell short of the glory of God. It's man who's not receiving. There are people that do not want to be loved. Well, I'll wait on God to love me. I'll wait on the Lord to do that. You are his body. He may use you to love. It's through your body. He's in you. He may use you to go love that person. He may use you to comfort that person. We can't sit here and wait till we get to glory. This is the life we now live in Christ. We are thinking about other people. We're considering them. Consider others. I mean, there are so many ways to consider. Even at Christmas time, that's one time I always think of consider. don't put anything out there that could bring hurt or make someone feel less than. I always feel like I remember that in Burlington. I remember this so vivid because I had to walk it. We were so poor. We were so poor. We had nothing. But I had Jesus, and he always provided. If it was hamburger for the table, he provided a haircut so I could do a haircut and make some money to buy food. So poor. And then at Christmas, everybody's not considering anybody else. They're talking about their turkeys and their ham and their big get-togethers and all the stuff they're going to have and all these things. But they didn't consider those around them. It hurt so deep because I knew I couldn't do that for my children. I couldn't. There was no way. But I tell you what, we had the love of God. We knew that Jesus loved us, and that's why he came. That's why he came to that manger. That's why those things become so real to your life. Because it was needful for you to have that trial. It was needful for you to go through this. God, he orders our steps. He was in the form of God, and he didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. But when you look at this, he kept showing the lowliness. He didn't make of himself a reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He was found in the fashion as a man. The Son of God? What is man that you would even think upon us? He humbled himself. Why? Because he loved you. He wanted to make a way that today you'll be able to go through the trials. You'll be able to conquer, have victory, walk in liberty because of he humbled. He came down. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He was given him a name. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. He was obedient to death, even the death of the cross, Calvary, where all my sin was laid upon him. I think he considered us. Wherefore, because of him willing, he didn't have to do it. He was submissive to the Father's will. Because he was willing to come down. I heard, wherefore, because of that, man didn't exalt him. God did. What did we learn in Peter? Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He's going to exalt you in due time. I don't want to be exalted unless the Lord puts me in the place of exaltation. That's his place. Because I guarantee you, they're going to bring glory and honor to him, not them. God also hath highly exalted him. Not just exalted him. I'll tell you how high he exalted him. Let's start going back up a ladder. He gave him a name which is above every name. I don't care, doctor, druggist, a drug that you may take, a person that you look at, a pastor you may, I don't care what it is. He's the name above all those names, above all. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. We should want to bow. Because of love, because he loved me. I love him because he first loved me. Every knee should bow in submission, reverential fear. We trust him. We love him. Now, do we do this overnight? No, it's line upon line. Here a little, there a little. It must be line upon line. It must be that way. He said every name should bow in heaven, in earth, and under earth. And every tongue, every knee, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue should confess. Every tongue, every knee. Go in Revelation and read all the different things that are going to take place, and they still won't submit. But they're going to. See, we know, because we study God's word. They're going to bow the knee. They will bow. All things are going to be made. They're going to happen. Wherefore, beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean scared. With true humbleness, true submission. I need you, Lord. For it is God which worketh in you, and we had this last week sometime, but it's twofold. God has to work this in you. God does it, not you. He has a preacher preach it to you, or the Holy Spirit bring to your remembrance. It is God which worketh in you, both to change your will to I want to do it. The will and the to do is there. He's going to do it. He changes your will to his will and gives you the ability to do it. Now, to do of his good pleasure. So do you just go, well, he worked it in me? I don't have to do anything. That's not what God said. He said, I worked it in you both to will and to do. You're responsible for what you've been given, what you have, not what you don't have. God knows. Number 10, responsibility according to the ability that God giveth. To do his good pleasure. Now do all things without murmuring and disputings. When you see murmuring and disputing, you know what that is? It's just unbelief. It's unbelief. Do it all without murmuring and disputings. Don't complain all the time. And when I see that, I go, well, Lord, I do. And he goes, that's why I'm working it in you. Because eventually it's going to come out. And you're not going to complain. But it won't because you did it. Because I gave the ability to do it. Amen. Timothy, I want you to teach others. So they'll be able to teach what you've taught. The same message. But he has to give the ability to teach. They can't do it unless God gives them that ability. Now they're responsible for it. What have you done with what God has given you? And here's the reason. That you may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God. Now please do not forget, worked it in you and through you. But he said, I did it because I want you to take this and experience it. I want you to be blameless. Be found in me. Harmless as the sons of God. Without rebuke. You're not going to have a blemish. They're not going to be able to say, well, you did this and you did that. They may, but is it truth? Without rebuke, where at? In heaven? No. He wants you to be blameless, harmless, sons of God's, without rebuke, in the midst of the crooked, perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Rise up and shine. Give God the glory. Magnify the grace of God. Now he said you're going to shine as lights in the world. Guess how? Holding forth the word of life. The words that I speak, they are life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. He ran, but he didn't do it without profit. He labored, but he didn't do it to no profit. He did it, I believe, all by God's grace. And he will exalt him. He will be exalted. Go to Philippians. I mean, go and read in the Philadelphia church. I will make them to know I love you. I don't think that person doesn't know that they were loved. I'm going to make them know I did love you. That's a joy to me. That's something we wait on. That's our hope. That's our expectation from the Lord. When you're in the trial, when you feel like no one's there, when you feel deserted, you feel like you don't fit, whatever. You do fit. Amen. Whether we allow people or whether people do make you fit and say you fit, you do fit. That's what you have to stand in. Not what others are saying or not what others are doing. Who are you? I'm in the beloved. Hold forth that word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither did I labor in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice, there's that drink offering. Nothing holding it back. Take that and just go like this. When you pour it, it flows freely. Nothing stopping it. A drink offering. Service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. When your brother suffers, you suffer with them. When they rejoice, you rejoice with them. Is that God's word? For the same cause also do you joy. Rejoice with me. Jesus, others than yourself. You're at the bottom of the pool. No matter what gift he's given you, I guarantee you, you can't do it unless God enables you to do that. You can't. We're talking about highest glory, not glory today or be glorified today. And it's he is to be glorified. Glory in the Lord. Let your light shine. Rise up and shine. Let's all stand.